The mistake we make is thinking that harassment is about desire, lust, or even attraction. It's not. Harassment is about dominance. It is saying, I am more powerful than you are. I can do what I want. That's one of the things Tara Weaver wrote in a Facebook post where she talked about the four times she's been sexually assaulted. Three times it was by someone she knew. The first time she was just a child.
The first man who kissed me when I didn't want him to was the boyfriend of my babysitter. He lifted me up by my armpits, sat me on the kitchen counter, leaned over me, and slid his tongue into my mouth. I was 8 years old. I don't know why he thought he could do this. I wasn't acting sexy. I was reading Beverly Cleary books and wishing I could be a horse. Do you think he had been listening to locker room banter?
Tara wrote publicly about her assaults in the days after tapes were released showing President-elect Donald Trump describing how he assaulted women. And those tapes, as you may remember, were dismissed by many people as locker room banter. But Tara told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel it's important to understand the impact these assaults can have, because assaults can stay with you forever.
When I am walking in a park, broad daylight, and I see a group of guys, two, three, because I was attacked, you know, when I was running once, when I was in my 20s, there's always that, you know, do I need to be afraid? Are they going to start coming towards me? And it's, I mean, I don't wear really high heels because I feel like I need to be able to run at any moment. And, you know, it's just part of the daily life. You get concerned about footsteps behind you, or you cross to the other side of the street, or you look around. I mean, I am more aware of my environment because of this.
Initially, the post that you made on Facebook about the assaults that you endured, that went up before the election.
Yeah.
I saw lots of posts like that. I saw lots of writing like that from women saying, this happened to me. And all of those posts, yours included, felt like a warning in a way. We can't elect someone who talks about women like this. But then we elected him.
We did.
So why are you still talking about this? Why do you think that it's important to keep telling these stories, to keep telling your story?
Well, I think that we need to, I mean, particularly under this administration, we need to fight even harder for decency. I mean, I have young nieces and a nephew, and one of the things that we've talked about in the wake of the election is that we need to be double kind now. And we need to, you know, reach out to vulnerable people and protect them more and stand up for them and really come together as a people. And, you know, I think that one of the most destructive aspects of the way Trump talks about women, but also about minorities, about a number of more vulnerable populations, is that the children are listening. So we need to stand up and say, this is not appropriate. I mean, one of the heartbreaking stories that I heard shortly after the election was of a 10-year-old boy who was running around his elementary school class grabbing female students in their privates. And when he was, you know, called out for it, he said the president told him it was okay. I mean, these are the messages that we're passing down. And I think that we, all of us, just need to stand up for decency and respect.
One of the things that's been interesting in watching the Facebook post that you made is that reactions keep coming in, responses keep coming in. What kinds of responses have you seen from people who have read what you wrote that make you think, this might actually stick with people?
Well, I have found the reaction to the essay to be the most fascinating thing. There were so many women saying, yes, me too. This is my story. This could have been me. And there were some men who said, really? There are men who were devastated by it. And then there were some men who said, four instances of abuse for one person, this must be made up. And then there were women who were saying, only four? You got off easy. I mean, it was really sort of a fascinating look at where people are coming from. And really, I mean, the men who just had no realization that this was happening. I actually have in my life sort of a mentor. He gave me my first job in publishing when I was in my 20s. And he wrote a really sweet comment. He said, you know, every once in a while, something comes along in your life that makes you reevaluate things and see the world through a different perspective. And this for him was one of those. And he has, you know, two daughters and many female friends. And he just, you know, wasn't aware of this, because I think the most destructive thing of it all is that we don't talk about this. And that's one of the reasons why I started being more public about it, particularly when my nieces were first born. And I realized that they were, you know, these little girls are growing up in a world that, you know, I didn't want them to have the same experience that I had, where dodgy, scary things happen to young girls and nobody talks about it. I mean, I think in some ways the shame is, I don't know if it's fair to say worse, but the shame is as bad, if not worse, than the actual events. So that was really fascinating. And also, you know, for all the women who said, yes, me too, you know, this is my story, there were also, there was one woman I remember who said that she had, you know, gone walking with a friend of hers and they were talking about the essay. They had both read it. And the woman said, wow, I'm so glad nothing like that has ever happened to me in my life. And her friend, you know, good friend, knows her story, said, well, what about this? What about this? What about that blind date you recently went on where the guy pinned you up against your car and tried to kiss you? And she was stunned because she just hadn't really in her mind thought of that as abuse. And I think oftentimes we sort of, you know, get along because we have to, and we downplay these things in our mind. And me as well, it took me a good decade before I actually started thinking about the thing that happened to me when I was 15 as day rape. I mean, we as women sort of have these coded language that we use, and we say, oh, well, you know, things got a little out of hand, or, you know, things went further than I wanted them to, which, you know, is sort of a nice way of packaging up this horrible thing that has happened to us. And that's what we do to survive, really. But with increased understanding, and it's been interesting just to see in my lifetime how, you know, how this is talked about on universities. And we had the really stunning, horrible example in Stanford. But they actually, we have language for it now, where when I was younger, I don't think we did.
One of the things that stood out to me in the piece that you wrote was the way you described what harassment is, what assault is. You wrote that it's about dominance. It's never about desire, right?
Absolutely.
You wrote that it is supposed to send a message, and that the message is, I'm more powerful than you. I can do what I want. What kinds of conversations are you having with your friends about how to stand up to that kind of dominance now that this election is over and Donald Trump is our president-elect?
You know, I've actually been really encouraged by what I am seeing in the wake of this election, because people are coming together and they're talking in ways that I've never seen before and mobilizing. And I don't think that we're at the stage of having solutions yet, but the network is being laid. And that's what I think is really important. I mean, we have to get everyone together. And the means will be determined, but, you know, we're not even, I guess we're a month out from the election. But it has been really encouraging to see how many people are up in arms about this, and people who, you know, may have felt that way before, but didn't really have a means to come together.
What do you mean by that?
I think that what is happening culturally with this election has tipped a lot of people over into activism. And perhaps that's what we needed. I mean, perhaps we needed this really giant wake-up call to say, we have a participatory government and most of us don't participate. So I think that, you know, there are people connecting to other people in their local areas that might have never happened otherwise.
But we also, as a society, have a really short attention span.
We do. And I think that that is actually the greatest danger, is that I feel it every day. I feel like I want to remain outraged and not sort of be lulled into, well, what can I do? There's a lot to push back against. And depending on, you know, sort of what level of privilege you have in your life, I mean, if you're a white American, the experience is not going to be the same as someone of color. And just because it isn't happening to you doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because it's not happening in your neighborhood doesn't mean it's not happening. So I think that the most important thing we have right now is communication and telling our stories and being, you know, as loud as we can. And it's really easy to think that it doesn't matter. I mean, I wrote the essay and I wavered on whether or not I should make it public. Because honestly, when women write about women's issues on the internet, they get death threats, they get rape threats. And it's easy to think, oh, well, it's just my story, it doesn't matter. But when you put something out there, it has this way of healing people that you can't necessarily anticipate, where people say, yeah, me too. You know, I'm too scared to write this myself, but yes, this is my story. And it's sort of like ripples in a pond when you throw a tiny little stone in and they go far and wide, and you can't ever anticipate or know actually what the ultimate outcome is. But yeah, we have to tell our stories.
Tara Weaver is a sexual assault survivor, and she wrote about her experience on Facebook. You can see her full essay at our website, looking at a photo of 8-year-old Tara Weaver, at our front page there at kuow.org. I hope you'll join us there. This is The Record.